Welcome to Everything But The Tip, the podcast that bucks the trend of the mainstream golf content being churned out by the masses. Presented by the co-founders of Smart Golf and Fitness, we're on a mission to guide golfers towards genuine improvement. No swing tips, no shortcuts, we're anti-instant gratification. Join us as we navigate the complexities of the game, offering insights on how to truly excel in golf by embracing the challenges and breaking free from the usual quick fix mentality. And we're back and very excited to bring you the much anticipated follow-up to our Smart Cup preview episode. Yes, the results are in. This past weekend, we wrapped up our annual Smart Cup tournament at the beautiful Hidden Creek Golf Course in New Jersey. And let me tell you, it did not disappoint. Tonight, we're going to be breaking down all the action, talking about some breakthrough performances, some epic matchups, of course, the atmosphere, and the camaraderie that makes this event so special. Whether you were there with us or just want to hear all about it, this episode will give you the full rundown. Tommy? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be here.
How are you? How you feeling about, you know, talking about the results tonight?
Well, it's the eighth year we've done this, so every year there's going to be a winner and a loser. And like we talked about on the preview episode, as much as you want to win the cup and you definitely want to hoist that at the end and have your team come home with it, there's just a lot more that goes into the trip, and there's a lot of ways to win on the trip. So don't want to allude to who won it, but I'm excited to tell everybody about the experiences, because overall, I thought it was one of the best that we've had to date.
That was very mature of you. Very mature of you. I also second that, though. I could not agree. I was just having a discussion prior to this with a member of ours. I'll give him a shout out because he usually attends them, Mr. Joe Balarucci. And I concur. This was definitely out of the eight, an easily top two Smart Cup for me. And I'll be honest, due to, you know, some things going on here at work, you know, call it some personal issues, whatever. I had a lot on my mind. I wasn't super ecstatic like I usually am going into this. And sometimes, you know, traveling, getting away from the kids gives you a little bit of anxiety. But all of that being said, for it to end up being the experience that it was, per usual, extremely glad that we host this and very glad to have been a part of it. So to kick things off, just kind of give the floor to you, Tommy, and you can answer this however you please, just to share with the audience. But how would you describe this particular property of the Dormy Network? Rank it maybe, you know, relative to some of the others for you personally, and just the overall atmosphere of what is typically a little bit smaller event than the ones we've hosted in the past?
Well, despite having a little smaller crowd for various reasons, some of our staples had some conflicts this year, and we moved the event up into the earlier part of September. But I thought the excitement that everybody brought to the table was just as good as years past. Everybody was excited about it, walking through the airport with the trophy. If, as we mentioned before, if you want some attention in an airport, just get yourself a trophy and walk through the airport with it. So just from everybody meeting at the airport, running into a couple of guys that made their own way to Hidden Creek, I thought the overall atmosphere was fantastic from a participation standpoint. Didn't matter whether we had 14, 18, 22, 28, or 30. Everybody was there to play some good golf, play a spectacular golf course, and, you know, put their best foot forward to try and win this cup. But as far as Hidden Creek goes, it's hard for me to really pick a favorite golf course out of the Dormy Network. They don't really have any bad tracks in their portfolio. Some of their tracks lend themselves to better players. Some of them lend themselves to the mediocre and higher handicap players. I would describe this golf course as, you know, a relatively forgiving golf course. It's very playable. It's fun for the low handicap guys because there's a lot of birdies to be had out there. You can, you know, get yourself in as much trouble as you want to, but you can also spray the ball around a little bit. And as long as your punch game is strong, you can still come away with a decent score.
Yeah, on that note, I would say definitely generous off the tee. However, Depending on what side of the hole you were on, those greens could be very, very challenging to read, which we'll talk about here shortly. But to piggyback off of what you said, what I really liked about the property this year, which is different than events we've had in the past, is there was basically two villas, and they were 12 bedrooms, right? Eight bedrooms on the bottom, four bedrooms on the floor, or on the top floor. And I know that we, for one of them, we occupied the entire house, and the other one we just occupied, the four bedrooms at the top. But what was cool this year is, you know, the first night we decided to have dinner inside the villas, and we actually divided up the teams. So we actually had a team dinner at one villa, if that's what you'd call it, and then another team dinner at the other villa.
Yeah, we hadn't done that since Ballyhack. That was a pretty cool setup at Ballyhack. We had one of the owner's cottages, and then we had the typical four packs. So we had the dinners on separate floors of the owner's cottage, so the teams could, you know, spend a little time together, reconnect and just talk a little bit about what they want to do over the course of the next couple of days. And but I thought that was a nice touch as well to get the weekend started off from a team standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know if you are calculated at all or give it much thought, or is it just, you know, you guys are hanging out, eating dinner and not talking about it much, but I always kind of give it not a lot of thought, but a little, year one, I just had each guy go around and introduce themselves, you know, tell maybe what they do for a living, but just start to try to cultivate some camaraderie, like a true team. And so most of the guys on this year's trip knew each other, so that wasn't as necessary. I just point blank asked, does anyone not know each other? But what I decided to do this year, as an assist from Scott Zaleski, we're both huge Detroit Lions fans. So, and I thought it would kind of be lighthearted, but also kind of motivational at the same time, was to play a pretty popular speech, or at least well-known, from our man and head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell. And, part of the speech was, and I am in no way, shape, or form going to try to replicate it, but, you know, he talks about being in the shallows and dragging out your opponents to the deep end, being willing to tread water as long as it takes until you drowned their ass.
Wow. That's but impressive.
Anyway, the reason
good
I bring...
Good thing there was no pool on the property and no water on the golf course.
Taking you out to the deep end. But the reason I brought that up is because, you know, throughout the rest of the weekend, we're like, hey, you dragging them out to the deep end? You know, just inquiring on the match to see if they were winning or not. But again, just another little fun part to, you know, help cultivate the team, but, you know, enhance the camaraderie and make it competitive but lighthearted at the same time. We ended up playing a couple other YouTube videos of some motivational speeches. I think one of them might have been from... Gosh, any given Sunday? I'm not even sure. But anyway, it was fun.
Yeah, I forgot my Vince Lombardi outfit this year, so we had to pivot and go a different route. But everybody on my team, my whole team was, you know, on the team last year, which was kind of neat. In case you don't know, typically when the dates come out for Smart Cup, those that attended the previous year, they get first invite. Then we go down our list of past attendees, and then we open it up to our general membership and then friends outside of that. When we select the teams or when we have the commits, we try to keep the teams as intact as possible as the previous years. Very rarely do we have somebody move from one team to the next, but occasionally it happens to make sure that the handicaps align, or if there's just, you know, more participation from one team than the other, then we need to lend them a helping hand.
Do you remember, you know, just speaking a little bit more to the places we were able to stay, do you remember what you were looking forward to most?
Yes. I'm always looking forward to the bed and the steam shower.
Okay.
And they did not disappoint. The bed was absolutely comfortable. And these were the best steam showers that Dormy has to offer.
Huge.
These things were ginormous. I was able to do my morning dynamic warm-up in it. I was able to do a stretching session after the day's golf before we went to dinner. And occasionally I'd do another little stretching session before actually hitting the hay, depending. But there was a day that I did take three steams, and on most days, minimum of two. So.
Yeah, they are phenomenal. They're not something I've had a lot of experience with. And then, quite frankly, I'm fairly certain in a few of the trips, I had no idea that the shower actually turned into a steam shower. So thankful to you. I knew how to use it this time. But yeah, I mean, once you turn the hot water on and you get the steam going, you can't see an inch in front of you.
No.
Right?
Absolutely not.
And it ends up being a small little detail, but major highlight of the experience, because literally every single guy that was on the trip was, you know, raving about their steam shower experience.
Well, it helps in the morning from a recovery standpoint, helps sweat out, you know, some of what you put in your body the day before, helps get the body loose. So gets the, you know, the blood flowing, gets things warm, helps just loosen things up. Not that we really needed, you know, much help with that because the weather was absolutely perfect. But yeah,
it really
was.
A
lot of benefits from the steam shower and definitely a highlight of the trip.
All right, cool. So let's fast forward to we got in Thursday. By the way, next year we are switching it. We're going to fly on Wednesday and stay through Saturday, which I think makes a lot of sense for all of us married individuals. And then the fact that we do have a lot of NFL fans. So to be home and being able to watch Sunday football, I think is very attractive. But anyway, day one, it's pretty low-key round. It's optional, but everyone, you know, plays in it. Just a practice round.
Cash game, side yep. cash game. So opportunity to win a little cash.
What ended up happening there? I actually don't remember.
You won. Okay.
No, did I
mean, did you intentionally? Because you got text messages like, you got my money.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Yeah. Me, Matt Long, and Dirty Birdie.
So note for next year, we should collect the cash on the first tee. That way we don't have to chase anybody down.
That's right.
Of course, the weekend. Yeah. Everybody pays. Everybody's good for it. But at the same rate, it just, you know, it's annoying just having to track it down. So.
Okay. But yeah, perfect round to start off. We had the rest of the evening to kind of, you know, that's when we went back to our rooms. We had our dinner inside the house. We had our little pep talks with our team. And then, of course, we meet up afterwards. And typically the first night we like to stay up, you know, a little late, nothing crazy, but we're all excited. Adrenaline's pumping. We're ready for the competition the next day, but we're also just really excited because in a way we're on vacation a little bit.
Yeah, and every property has a little bit something else to offer. This one in particular with the two houses, we all convened at one house,
yep.
got some euchre games going. There was a shuffleboard table mm-hmm. in there. There was a pool table. We had two TVs, so we had the Thursday night football game going on both of those. So just overall, you know, solid hang, watching some Thursday night football, you know, throwing some cards.
And then we concluded playing some Texas Hold'em.
We did sit down and play a little Hold'em.
Which, again, I won again.
Kept me up a little later than I wanted to there.
Actually, I ended up splitting the pot with Slingerland. Shout out to Henry.
Hank. Coming in from North Carolina.
But yeah, $20 buy-in. We both ended up splitting $240. So we took home another $120. So shoot.
Man.
That was way ahead of my caddies paid for.
No doubt.
All right. So now it's Friday morning. And first round of the matches. Was this the first morning where it was somewhat overcast where you couldn't even see your tee shot? Or was that Saturday?
Well, every morning that I woke up, I looked out. There was usually a layer of fog out there, but that usually lifts pretty quick. But no, this one lifted pretty quick by the time we out there. I mean, our tee times were at 8:30, 8:45, so they were lifted there. But Saturday morning was definitely foggy. A little difficult to see the ball once it left the tee. So you needed to have a decent sense of which direction it was going to have a chance of finding it out there.
But yeah, so we all wake up, you got your golf carts waiting for you in the morning, you hop in it, you drive over to the main clubhouse, and they have this awesome spread of, you know, different variety of breakfast foods, even got an omelet station, which I ended up having one made for me, which was amazing. And then, of course, start the morning off with a little bloody. But yeah, the first match was Tommy and I, we always play the first match together, and as of late, Kuka has been Tommy's partner. My partner has varied from years just based on who is able to commit. We want to keep the handicaps as close to even as possible. But shout out to Schaefer Deegan. But yeah, just to go through that match, that's always a tough match. I find that most years I end up losing it. But of course, since we're talking about the recap and the results, we've got to shed light on what unfolded. And yeah, we took her home. 4-3, which is a pretty big victory because, you know, as Chip Haynes said before teeing off, what? Tommy and Kuka again? Man, that's like a cheat code.
I mean, I don't expect to come home and, you know, I don't expect any match to win. I mean, I know every match is going to be a battle when we go out there. So golf is a strange sport. I had a very, very strange occurrence between Thursday, Friday, and a little bit into Saturday. I putted like I had never touched a putter before in my entire life. And it was really, really frustrating because I was hitting the ball really well off the tee. I was striking it pretty well, getting it on or around the green. Really wasn't having any trouble with any aspect of my game except for the one that usually I can lean upon, my old reliable. I couldn't see any lines.
Missing shorties.
I couldn't get the ball close to the hole. I couldn't tell if it was uphill, downhill. I had absolutely no clue what was going on. So as you can imagine, I was, you know, a little anxious after that match. One, you know, losing 4 and 3, but I had lost, you know, first round matches before. And, you know, there's been varying results as the days go on. It's only 1 point. There's a lot of points to be had. There's a lot of golf to be had. But just, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I had an extreme amount of anxiety thinking back now, knowing that I'm struggling putting, but I'm hitting the ball really, really well. I also knew in the back of my head, if I could figure out how to putt somehow and get back to at least some semblance of a decent putt than I am, then I would have a pretty good shot. But that, you know, that struggle continued on into Friday afternoon. We were playing a two-person scramble, you and I.
Yeah, slow down for a second.
Okay.
I was just going to say, to even your defense, and we'll get there in a minute, yes, I had some crazy putting experiences, which I've honestly never encountered quite like this trip, but those were some of the toughest greens. The most I've struggled reading them, even with caddies. And it's one thing like, you know, thinking it breaks a cup and you didn't play enough. It's a whole nother thing when you think it breaks right and it actually breaks left. And there was a lot of that out there. And which ended up, you know, after I started off so hot, which we'll talk about here in a minute, I was trying not to allow myself to get frustrated because I'm like, okay. As Bert said, I don't even know if I can say that. Yeah, it's kind of rated R, so I won't say that. But yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say, as we closed out your match, this is how crazy it was. I don't remember what hole it was exactly, but I drilled a 60-footer for birdie.
Oh, Jesus.
Tommy started laughing out loud. And then literally the following hole, I hit probably a 30, 40-footer back of the cup, closed it out. And then now I'll let you pick up where you were about to go into, which is the afternoon scramble, you and I.
Well, it's just hilarious that you said you struggled putting, but in that match alone, you made like, I don't know, 150 to 200 feet of putts, which was crazy.
I didn't struggle putting. I struggled reading the greens.
Got it. Well, I can attest because I actually broke down and went and bought a green book just so I had some general idea. I was looking at the GPS in the cart before I left it. Oftentimes I would walk to the green, walk back to the cart, look at the GPS again, and then just like, you know, just confirm whether or not I had at least a sense of what was going on. But I bought a green book, and that helped out a decent amount. But yeah, Friday afternoon started to get a little bit more, you know, feel going on. I was still hitting the ball pretty well. You and I were actually partners at this point. So,
was a new experience this year. Happy with how Kuka decided to throw that in there. But yeah, we just kept the afternoon low key. We did two groups, even though we had 14 people. We had a six-some and an eight-some, and we just did two-team scramble. And honestly, like 6 holes into it, guys are like, man, you guys should just do a scramble fest Smart Cup because this is so much fun. And it is, because no one's got anxiety. You don't feel nearly as responsible or the results are as consequential. But yeah, Tommy and I were partners, and the putting, I don't even know what you'd call it, but amazingness just continued. And Tommy and I together made 10 birdies and shot 9 under. We actually threw a bogey in there. But the next closest score was what? 1 under, 2 under?
Yeah, the guys were accusing us of cheating because it was crazy. It was like we had a cheat code out there playing this little scramble event. But yeah, it was baffling. It was hilarious and fun at the same time because it was just, like you said, a no sweat. There's no points on this. Just another side cash game. You've got teams that are made up of guys from one squad and the next. So intermix them there and stuff like that and just have a great, great time to close out that first competitive afternoon.
Yep. So the first day concluded a point total. My team, 3.5. Tommy's team, 1.5. So pretty close, really, for the first day. 2-point differential, nothing. But yeah, I would consider if you take a 2-point lead the first day, you had a really good start to the event. Okay. Day two. Format again, I'm fairly certain was it four ball match play for that morning?
Four ball again Saturday morning. So got off a little bit earlier that day, but foggy in the morning, and then first few holes, it was still pretty foggy out there. So a little challenging off the tee.
So that another unique piece, due to the fact we only had 14 this year, we had to be strategic with how we set up the matches. And so the first day there was a twosome that played singles, and then the second day there was also a twosome that played singles, and that's where Nick Kuka and I went out and played against each other, and honestly had a really good match. I think we both definitely could have went lower, but we ended up having the match. You know, he drilled an awesome 20-footer on 18, and I moved forward with missing a 5-footer on 18.
That 20-footer had to feel good after watching you bury all those putts on us the day before.
Yeah, and to his defense, too, he missed some shorties throughout the round, so he deserved it. But yeah, so I don't know how much detail we want to go into the matches that morning. I don't know exactly how everything unfolded.
Well, if you're keeping score, I lost my only point the day before and proceeded to go ahead and lose my only point this morning as well. Chip and I were partners.
So you lost your only point twice?
Doesn't that mean you lost two? I did, each day. Should have had a cheat code for us as well, but we decided to go out and check out what Atlantic City had to offer from a nightlife perspective. So after dinner, we had a few of us that were talking about heading down to Atlantic City. I'd never been except for our brief stop there, you and I on the boardwalk on our way to Princeton the last time we were there. So I was definitely game to go on and check it out.
Didn't we skip a round of golf? Didn't we do a modified Chapman?
No, Saturday morning we're four ball. So we went from scramble that.
Don't we play 36 that day?
This day we do, Saturday.
Oh, I'm confused. Yeah.
So Friday night we went to.
Got it. Yes, I skipped that.
Yeah. I wasn't about to go to Atlantic City the night before I was playing you in singles. I'm not that dumb. Maybe I am. But yeah, there was talks about going back on Saturday night too, but I showed some restraint there. But yeah, Friday night, headed out to Atlantic City. The club has a partnership with one of the casinos down there, Borgata. Very nice casino. Never been to a Borgata, but Atlantic City is basically just a little smaller version of Vegas. A lot of the popular casinos that you see out in Vegas are there as well. We kept ourselves just to Borgata and checked out what it had to happen, but it had plenty to do there. The tables were a little higher stakes than we wanted to, but we bounced around there for several hours, ended up rolling in probably around four or so in the morning. So got a little less sleep than I would have liked going into a four ball match.
But I'm glad he's not my team captain.
But yes, some may call me a little selfish, but Chip and I are trained professionals. We've come into matches low sleep, you know, a little tired before. So as much as we thought that it wouldn't affect us, it actually did. We came out of the gate somewhat hot, one up through four, but then ended up fizzing out as we dropped that match. But that's about all I got to say to that. Took a nap and came back in the afternoon firing, though.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you. I appreciated the assist that morning after that extravaganza.
But yeah, now was where we played Chapman on Saturday afternoon. So we had two matchups of Chapman, modified Chapman. And then again, just due to the numbers that we had this year, had to get a little unique. But I thought the three-person step-aside scramble was a pretty unique twist, a little different format than we'd done before, and it seemed like everybody had a pretty good time out there.
You didn't get involved in this episode. You were true Chapman.
I was in the Chapman. Okay. Yeah, I played with my buddy Kyle Dreger, who came in from Minnesota. So,
yeah, no, we ended up getting, that was an epic match, actually. It was me, Kyle, and the legend Tim Stoddard against Kyle,
against
Nick Kuka. And yeah,
Kuka,
Nick Kuka,
JB,
and
the Todd father.
Yeah, Phil Unger and Todd. And we got four or five up real early. And on the back nine, and this is what's so fun about this format, JB rolled one in from 20 feet, straight downhill breaking putt. Next hole, Chad chips one in. And then the next hole, Todd hits like a 50-footer for birdie. And we're pretty close to all square at that point. And we ended up having that match because I could not capitalize on a 10-footer on the last hole. But nonetheless, that them coming back was actually really, really enjoyable. And I'm glad they did because it was a little bit of a snooze fest there for a while.
Yeah, when you go into the Smart Cup, you are obviously trying to win as many points as possible. Kind of in the back of my mind, I like to at least split, at least get 2 points out of the four that, you know, I've got available to me. If you get a little bit more than that, then obviously it's a bonus and you've done, you know, more than your part to try and help the team win. So that afternoon was crucial for me. Had to get a point there. Otherwise, it was one of those points of the trip that was going to be a little bit of a failure and disappointment to me. But me and Kyle, we got the job done in the afternoon. Like I said, took a nap between the morning round and the afternoon round. Went to the pro shop, picked up a green book, and the rest is history, as I like to say.
Pretty solid. So concluding day two, point total, 6.5 my team to 3.5 Tommy's team. Pretty decent lead, really, when there's, you know, their team only was required to win 9 to retain the cup.
That was 7-4.
We needed 9.5. You think it was 7-4?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain it was. We had a 3-point deficit definitely to make up, and I knew you guys only needed 2 points out of the next day. So
you could be correct on that. So 7-4, which means we needed 2.5 the last day, and you guys needed 5. That is correct. And there was 8 singles matches.
7.
Really?
Yeah, we had 14 people. So that's
thank
7
you.
Matches.
Well, I'm glad one of us know what the heck we're talking about. So yeah, do we just want to, the only other thing I would highlight is we didn't really mention too much about the dinners, but first night we had a couple massive, I don't even know what you'd call them, seafood platters.
Seafood towers. They weren't very high. They were low towers, but they were definitely
phenomenal.
Spectacular.
And then we had a spectacular
lobster, oysters, big tiger prawns.
Then when we have a steak dinner, oh, that was actually amazing too. And then we had to, due to the fact someone at a table nearby had ordered what's called a veal parmesan, which was huge and looked amazing. We had to get a couple of those for the table too, and they did not disappoint.
Yeah, food was spectacular.
Always is.
With a group this size, it's always challenging to try and navigate whether everybody orders off the menu, whether we do some prefix stuff. So we always do a little combination of both. Team dinners were great. Just some low-key, easy stuff on Thursday night. Friday, order off the menu, kind of whatever you want. And then Saturday, celebratory. We got a couple of varieties of steaks along with those veal parmesan. It was fantastic.
So I think we were all pretty wise that night. All went to bed at a very reasonable time. I think I was in bed probably 10:30. Getting rested up for the big singles match against Mr. Tommy Assuma. What was the record, just to paint the picture prior to going into this, for us individually as singles?
From my perspective, it was 2-4-1. I had won twice, you had won 4 times, and we had halved one. So after our 5th year, we were at 2-2-1, but I had dropped the last 2 consecutive. Ballyhack was a challenging track for me to be able to come out on top. Again, that's one of the courses in the Dormy portfolio that favors the better golfers. Just very, very challenging track, and errant mistake by myself when the match was tight that kind of put it out of reach for me. And then last year, Dormy Club, I think it was kind of a seesaw battle there, and just struggled a little bit down the stretch.
You got actually, 3 up. You were 3 up on the back 9.
At Dormy?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and then you made that eagle to win. Was that it?
Well, that eventually led to an eagle to win, but I had to win a couple holes prior to that first.
Yeah.
But they were definitely assists given to you. I had to make pars.
Yeah. So again, it's, my game, my handicap. Anytime I can get up a little bit, that's fantastic. I don't take it for granted because, golf is hard. Yeah, we all know it's hard. And,
So an interesting part of this year is, and Tommy and I will admit it, there's been times where our competitiveness has gotten the best of it. And maybe I'm more responsible than him, but I think we both can take a little bit of responsibility on, we really want to win. But this year we got to sit in the exact same car together because there was no one else in the group and it was just him and I. And, we started the morning with some tequila sunrises because Tommy ordered it. And I of course had to follow because it sounded like such a great idea and it was. And, we went into it, had the music going. We were both in, pretty high spirits. I actually had probably the least amount of angst going into this one. Just because I think I'm starting to get past some of that, but was excited for the competition. And this was crazy this year because, do you remember, 8 holes in, I am five down, and I have never been five down ever in the history of the Smart Cup in any match.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little anxiety going into day one just because I hadn't played particularly well for the most part. You know, Kyle and I, again, you know, won our match the day prior, but we didn't do so in a fashion that you're like walking off the golf course super confident in, like, you know, how you hit it and how you played. So I'd be remiss not to, you know, admit to you that I was a little anxious that morning. One, I wanted to get that second point for my team, and I wanted to get that first one on the board, or a second point for me to be able to split. And then, but, you know, more importantly, I wanted to get that first point on the board because we were the first match out to just kind of let the other guys know that, hey, we got a chance. We can fight, we can claw back, and we've got a chance to win this thing. So
I knew that that front nine was going to be somewhat close just because, let's face it, it's not the hardest nine in the world.
Yeah,
making pars out there
is easier than the back.
I mean, shoot, the first, I didn't make a bogey on the front nine until like my third round.
Right. You'd mentioned that a couple of times. So I'm like, holy shit, I've got to really utilize my strokes here. Well, I've got to make, you know, nothing worse than par and hopefully be able to roll in a birdie or two.
Yeah. So ironically, I decided to hit balls a little bit longer that morning. Had by far the best rain session I've had in a really long time. I'm like, oh, today's going to be fun.
And I started off balls on the range, actually.
So he goes out there and he pars eight straight holes. There might even
have
a birdie in there.
Yeah, I made one bogey, one birdie.
And he's even par through eight. I might have been even par through eight. Mine was a little uglier than his. But yeah, so I'm five down through eight. Tommy, you know, gave me an assist on hole nine. He did end up doubling it to shoot a 38. Oh, actually, no, I was not even through eight. So you were beating me by two. I parred. We both shot 38 on the front.
That's correct. And I don't know what it was with this ninth hole. I had been driving the ball pretty well the entire time. Had a couple errant ones, but for the most part, I'd say I hit well over 50% of the fairways prior to that. So I was feeling pretty good, but the ninth hole just gave me fits. Yes, the day prior, I decided to go five wood and got one, you know, just up the right side there. So I thought, all right, cool. You know, I mean, even though I've been hitting driver pretty well, five wood, make the same similar type of swing, I can just put up that right side there and be okay. But I went ahead and hit that, you know, 30 yards offline the same way I could hit my driver. And yeah, that was pretty much the end of that hole right there.
So we make the turn, and I'm just kind of in my head, I'm like, all right, well, this is not going at all how I anticipated. This is unfortunate because our match usually goes down to the last hole, but whatever, you know what, it feels like it's over. But here's the deal: at this point, since I have nothing to lose, I'm going to play as aggressive as I possibly can, and we're coming up on a pretty tough stretch of holes, and I'm very proud to say that I went birdie, 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 three in a row, which is, you know, brings back memories to another Smart Cup. D Rose, you're in the room just helping us with some of the technical stuff. But I remember when we got way down and I said, hey, I'm going to go really, really aggressive here. And I went, you know, eagle, birdie, birdie. I ended up shooting a 30. So there's something there in my psyche to where I think I just in general play way too conservative because I don't trust my ability. But anyway, yeah, I ended up getting it to what, two down.
Got it to one down.
No, I ended up getting it all square.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. I mean, you got it to one down after that birdie barrage. I took.
Oh, you're right.
I took three huge punches back and forth, and I'm wavering on the ropes right there, about to go down, almost a standing eight count, you know, but somehow I got it back together.
Well, and
I
halved
the hole
finally.
On that par
four that you halved, you went pretty poor drive, pretty poor second shot, fine third shot to what, 20 feet?
20, 30 feet.
And then drilled it for par as I was looking at, you know, 18 footer for birdie, maybe a little less. But that would have been damaging. I think you missed that putt. I think this match might have turned out a little differently.
I don't doubt it. You know, like I said, I don't take anything for granted. You know, being four up in a match, sure, that's, you know,
five up,
but a decent, it's a decent lead. But when you lose a hole, make the turn, and then, you know, the guy that you're playing against goes birdie, birdie, birdie. And the next thing you know, you find yourself one up with six to play. That lead feels like nothing. You almost feel like you're losing at that point. So,
and I'll be honest, after I went birdie, 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 and we got the match close, I was happy. I was satisfied. I'm like, all right, cool. I made it a match, got a cool story. I'm playing well. Yes, I still want to win, but losing is not going to feel like a normal loss. And anyway, yeah, we get it down to the last two holes. I'm feeling pretty strong because it's a short par five, which I had birdied it every time I played it since then. And I hit a perfect drive. I hit a perfect four iron that I thought I choked down on. I shouldn't have. A little bit of wind in the face. Ended up just short, had a straight 101 chip. I mean, I'm going to use an excuse a little bit because literally as I'm about to pull the trigger, the caddy goes, "Hey, make sure you don't go long left. It's death," which I already knew that. I just, you know, anyway, that's my only gripe. But yeah, so I ended up, I think, reacting to that, ended up hitting it to what, 9 feet to the right, missed a putt. And then, you know, you did what you had to do.
I mean, I had a pretty good drive. We were going back and forth. Both of us were trying to figure out what to hit into that green because the wind was probably a club and a half, two club wind into us. And then all of a sudden it would swirl and be downwind.
Right.
So it's like I'm going back and forth between four iron and five wood trying to figure out what I'm going to hit into there. Thankfully, I just, you know, chunked a five wood up to a decent distance. And then I actually yanked my wedge a little bit into that back left death corner. So I made a pretty good up and down from there because I had to give a little chop putt because my ball was right up against the fringe. And then I made a decent, you know, 4 or 5 footer coming back to have that or to make par there.
We went but I was into expecting you to make 18 square, right?
We went into 18 all square.
Yes.
I was getting a pop.
Yep. And I don't even recall what I did I?
You hit a five wood off to the left side into the rough,
and then I hit a wedge into the bunker.
You took a wedge, and then
oh,
I don't know
right.
if it hit a wall of wind or what it hit, but I
that
hit
was
a,
weird.
I hit a pretty good drive off the tee. I envisioned hole number 15 at actually 25. Sorry, at White Eagle, challenging driving hole, but similar kind of layout there. So I just kind of visualized some of the good drives I've had there, hit that little slap cut that I've been hitting the entire weekend, put it up on the right side, had a little wedge. Once I saw your wedge, again, I, you know, just kind of hit that wall of wind, whatever it was, kind of fell into the bunker. You know, I knew I had to just put it on the green anywhere. Probably had a little pump of adrenaline there, hit the green, and it rolled back into the fringe. So if anybody knows me, my short game is kind of hit and miss. Sometimes it looks like I've got a tour level
Unless
short
it's
game.
Against me.
And sometimes I really, really struggle there. So relatively easy chip. It was fluffy back there. It was a little downwind. All I had to do was get on the green and kind of roll it down there. Probably left it a little bit shorter than I wanted. I was hoping to trundle it right down there and not, you know, give you an opportunity to get up and down to have the hole because I was getting a stroke. So I knew, you know, bogey's what I needed at worst. But
you ended up making bogey.
No.
Yeah, because I had a 6 footer. To have the entire match.
Oh, you did, because you were one to there, two to there, three on
the
four. That's right. You made bogey. I made bogey.
And
that's
I missed
right.
it because I misread it. And it was ended up being a spectacular match. And as I told you, that was the most fun I've ever had playing a match and losing. So.
All right. Well, I had a fantastic time as well. I was, we both kept it together. I knew that it was going to be a battle down the stretch. You were always talking about, well, I'm like 9 holes to go. Well, maybe you said, you know, maybe 9 holes to go, you know, whether there was some gamesmanship there or not. In my mind, I thought we were going to 18, whether we were going to or not, but it was in my mind that I knew I needed to continue to grind. I needed to play hard. I needed to just focus on one shot at a time. But again,
the ironic part is I shot a 70, which was the best round of the trip. And would you shoot 80, 79?
Shot 80.
And, you know, well, you got 10 strokes or 11 or whatever it was.
I mean, but it was a 38-42. It's not like I fell apart on the back. It's not like
no,
I shot like
you played your
48,
best.
You know?
That was your best performance of the
yeah,
Smart Cup,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well deserved. So, you know, that concluded, expedite the story to the finish. What's nice is when Tommy and I tee off first, we do get the opportunity to go, you know, grab a couple drinks, take our shoes off, you know, light up a stogie, and then go back and support our team members. And we're live scoring the entire time. So there's a little app we use, and it really enhances the experience because you can check in on any group at any time and get a, you know, nice little update on where that match currently stands. So we ended up going and supporting Kyle, and as he was playing in a very tight match against Nick Kuka, once he had gotten to 18, and I knew that he had secured a half point, I'm like, all right, cool, we got what we more or less needed there. If he ends up winning the hole or tying it and getting a full point, even better. And then we knew we had one more match out there with Dirty Birdie, Burt Winston. We call him our company mascot because he lives on property. But went out there.
But as we were cruising around, just give them a, you know, it was 7-4 to start.
Yep.
First three matches that went out,
yeah,
we had won. So it was 7-7 in essence. One of the matches later on was over prior to 18. So we knew you guys had secured a point. So it was 8-7 there. We went and visited Kyle and Nick on the 15th hole, watched them play a couple of holes. Kyle was one up going into 18, so you knew he was getting that half a point. Nick needed to win that to get a half a point. Otherwise, the cup would have been over at that, you know, at that juncture. But yeah, then we moved on to go look at the last two matches that were on the golf course, the one that was going to be the decider, as long as Kuka got that half a point, which he did. So now it comes down. It's 8.5 to 8.5 mm-hmm. coming down to the last two guys that are on the golf course.
Which has never quite happened like that, which I think also added to the experience and why this, you know, rates so high and relative to the other Smart Cups we've hosted. But yeah, it was cool to be out there. Bert, ended up getting a little bit of an assist from his opponent, ended up having to lag. He ended up having three putts to win, and he did so. And it was nice there to give him a big hug, big high five. And from there, our tradition is we went and secured the cup. We, of course, ordered a bottle of champagne, filled it up, went around robin. I gave a short little speech about dragging people out to the deep end. And that was kind of the conclusion. I think, you know, we have to mention, you know, another little cool part of this experience is everyone gets a team uniform. So we've gone through grace in the past few years. We went through them again this year, and you get a different shirt for every single day. Everyone gets a cool hat. These are one of my favorite hats we've had this year with the American flag, but rather than the stars, we put our logo, the kettlebell. Sell them in the shop if you want one. That was with a company called Richardson, so shout out to you guys. And then, our tea gift this year is from a new company called Luso Cloud. I think they're new to me. And they gave us some pretty high-end sliders, if you will, with our logo on the top. And I think those were a hit. I think people really appreciated that one. And, you know, at all the nights, you know, evenings when we're eating dinner, everyone had the same shoes on, which was kind of cool. But, that was the Smart Cup. I mean, overall, I think we both agree that this was, you know, one of the best ones we've been on.
Really cool property. If you get a chance to go check out Hidden Creek, I definitely would. I mean, a couple of really unique holes going back to that last half point that was needed there. Real neat drivable par four. There was a couple of eagles on that hole, several birdies.
That was my favorite.
A really cool hole. Number three, the par five, the long par five. So I think we mentioned in the preview that the par threes varied in length anywhere from 115 yards to, 230 yards. So real cool hole there, that third hole, the par three, the big long par three. And then, you know, after you'd made birdie on number 10, which is that's one of the hardest holes on the property. Then you come to this 115-yard kind of blind tee shot into the par three. You stuck that thing in there really, really tight. And they've got some unique, you know, kind of pottish, long, skinny bunkers. I don't know what you call those, kind of church
graveyard.
Yeah, graveyards. Yeah, bunkers. But those were kind of my three favorite holes there between that drivable par four on eighth and then the par three third and then number 11. So.
We are pretty much on the same page there. Rather than number 11, I'm going to replace it with 17 because I like easy birdie holes. So obviously every year we go on this, we try to learn from the experience and see if there's any ways to make it better for the next year. I think we've already mentioned one way we're going to make it better next year is by making it, you know, Wednesday through Saturday.
I don't know. I liked Sunday. I mean, I understand it. My wife would definitely appreciate it. My kids would definitely appreciate it. I do like the comfort of my, you know, couch to have like a reentry day before having to go to work, because going to work after Smart Cup is always a little challenging on Monday. And I, you know, always say that I'm going to, you know, maybe go in a little bit later that day, but then push comes to shove, I got to get in there and see my clients. So I never do. So I think Wednesday to Saturday is a good move. So we'll see how that goes to try and improve it for next year. But I'm not going to lie, sitting, you know, having the time to go take a shower, no steam shower in the locker room, unfortunately, but the showers are still good. Take a shower. Everybody's, you know, half the crew is geared up in like their team's stuff. We've got two games going on the TV. We're ordering some more food, just sitting down and relaxing. Several years we've had to race out. So even having a little bit of extra time was nice this year. We've got phones with all the different games going and stuff.
It'll just be college football.
It will be college football. So.
So, yeah, but we're not going to miss out on that. Anything, I mean, kind of a tough question putting you on the spot, but anything else that we learned this year that, you know, we might want to, improve upon next year? I think we're doing a pretty good job. We've done eight of them now.
Yeah, I think we've done eight of them. Dormy Club makes it super easy. Nick does a spectacular job. you know, getting everything together and ordered. I think you wanted to have your hand in, you know, the pairings a little bit more, but from an overall, like, just function standpoint in the cup, I think we've done a pretty good job, probably put out a little survey just to see if there's anything that we're not seeing and overlooking from a client standpoint and see if they'd like to see something different. But I think the teams have been great. The gear is always fantastic. The food is top notch. Accommodations, travel went smooth this year. So knock on wood, that's one of the things that we, you know, necessarily can't control, but the transfers from the airport and back and forth is, you know, everybody gets taken care of. So.
What impact do you think this event has on the culture of Smart Golf and fitness?
I think it has a huge impact. We had, again, a little bit smaller numbers, so I know that there's already, you know, staff members that are, you know, want to make it and they want to be a part of that trip. So we'll have to go through that difficult process of figuring out who gets to come from a staff standpoint now that we're over 20 staff members. But there's already clients that have asked about it and said they're in for next year. So we'll get those dates secured, heading down to Briggs Ranch in San Antonio this next year.
But the fun factory.
But I think it's huge. It's huge for culture. Guys look forward to it. Guys are disappointed when they can't make it. We've already had, you know, a ton of conversations, both staff and member-wise, that next year's well on its way.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's twofold because obviously you've got the staff, which, you know, we work with day in and day out, but we're busy. We're with our clients. We're in our hour, you know, lessons back to back. But to sit there around a fire or 5 hours of golf at dinner and being able to go a little bit deeper into conversation, you know, continue to build upon that relationship with the staff is huge. And then, you know, it's no different than with the members, you know, even for the ones that you coach, you know, you're all about business for the most part for that 1 hour. So to get away from them and spend that many consecutive hours together, of course, is going to build a bond and solidify a relationship even further. So I think it's a no-brainer. It has helped our culture of town. And as we've always said, we want to try to grow our community here. And the fact that we get done and guys are like, hey, take my money for next year already because this is amazing and I cannot wait, I think is a testament and says a lot. So
I think the biggest challenge for next year is figuring out what to do with the trophy. So we've filled 8 sides of the trophy. I need to take it to our trophy guy and figure out whether we need to add a layer to it, or whether we get a replica trophy and start adding plaques around that new one. So we'll see what the options are.
Just wanted to grab the trophy and put it where it belongs on my lap because, it's good to have you back.
You missed it for the year.
I did.
So everybody's counting at home. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm doing just fine. But yes, Joe has won the trophy 6 times. I've won it twice. It means a lot to him. I've enjoyed it the 2 times I've had it.
I'm going to try and get it back in our possession next year. What's the lesson you can learn from that? Don't stay up till 4 a.m.
I will be a little less selfish next year.
No,
we'll be
we
in
won't.
San Antonio.
He's going to actually bring more of his team. Invite any of my team members.
Okay. All right. And then, so our record is 3-4-1. So I'm looking to even things up next year. Looking to try to get.
Let me think. Briggs Ranch. Is that a course that sets up well to where we can make that an interesting match? Yeah, the fairways are huge and very, very generous. So that's going to be a tough one.
And I played pretty well there. Yeah. Last time we went there, I've only been once, but I remember, you know, being happy with my performance there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. All right. Well, there you have it. Smart Cup 2024.
We got to get home and get some rest because we've got White Eagle Fall member guest tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We do work, guys. We promise you. I was not going to tell them that.
Well, sorry.
I'm looking forward to the one-day member guest. We haven't won it once.
We're on the same team. Yes. We'll see if we can win it again.
Cheers.
More hardware. Get this.
Let's go.
A big thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Everything But the Tip podcast. Stay connected with us on all social media platforms by following @SmartGolfFitness. For additional episodes, updates, and exclusive content, check out our website at smartgolffitness.com. Don't forget to show some love, like, share, and subscribe to ensure you never miss out on the latest insights and engaging discussions. Your support means the world to us. Until next time, keep swinging and stay fit.